The destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi. But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Well, life on the farm, kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor sexy.
Time for us to talk to Ryan Jenkins, our good friend and the farmer owner Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hey, Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. It's always good to hear your voice. You don't know how many people get a hold of me throughout the month and like, when's Ryan coming back? I'm like, first Friday of the month, except for when I'm on vacation. So, but people do love listening to you. You are a voice in their lives. I absolutely guarantee it. Let's talk about kind of bad story that happened first. In Escambia County, we had a death, unfortunately, because a man got crushed by a tractor that moved suddenly somehow or other. And I don't know more of the details. I know North Escambia had reported on that. I don't know if you know any of the details or not, but to me, it was more of a, it highlights the fact that, you know, farming is dangerous. And as you always do this briefing every year for the EMS and first responders, the unique problems that can be created by farm incidents are, you know, a special challenge, right?
It is. I mean, it's a very dangerous profession that we're in. A lot of it just has to do with the sheer size of the equipment and the environment that we're working in. So it's a dangerous time. I haven't heard. My goal is to find out what happened so we can incorporate that into our safety day every year. But I can tell you that I have no idea. I know not a single fact about what happened. But to your listeners, you know, a lot of these older tractors, the smaller, older tractors like your grandparents had, like you see people using in their gardens or their food plots or things like that, you know, they're old, and a lot of people, the starter mechanism will tear up, the switch will tear up, all the safety switches kind of go away over the years. And what happens is a lot of people will start their tractor while they're standing there, they'll use a screwdriver to jump across a couple of posts and start their tractor manually that way instead of using a key and all the safety features. And sometimes it'll be in gear and it'll run over them. And that, I know several people that have happened, that has happened too. And that causes a lot of deaths every year. Now, I don't know if that has anything I know nothing about the case.
Right.
It's Escambia County. But I'm just saying that for the listeners that are out there. You know, a lot of these people that get run over from doing that have done this for years and years and years and years, and they get complacent or they think it's out of gear and it's not. And next thing you know, somebody's gotten run over that way. So, you know, it's dangerous. That's just one small, you know, piece of the puzzle of how people get hurt on the farm every year. But it happens frequently. I can probably name 5 people in our area that I know that's happened to, just in our little area.
And I know that, you know, people, again, don't necessarily think about all the safety concerns around farming, but, you know, you and I have talked about things like they build a safety feature into the tractors, and then that makes it hard to work on the tractor yourself, so you disable that safety feature in order to keep your tractor functioning because, you know, come harvest time or planting time, it's got to be able to work. And it's all this, it's kind of like the battle of, sometimes it's the battle of the manufacturers against cost and inconvenience. Sometimes, like as you're talking about, it's the battle of just age and worn down parts versus ingenuity and not wanting to pay to fully replace. I mean, there's just all of these things become factors that can hurt people or kill people, unfortunately. I wanted to ask you if the Rural and Family Lands Program has gotten $425 million into the Florida budget. We've also got like the down zoning possibility in Santa Rosa County. Now Rutt Rowell has put that in to have a one structure to 30 acres instead of one structure to 15 acres. I didn't know if you had any thoughts about all of this. I know you've been very active on trying to find ways to conserve land in general in Santa Rosa County. So I'll kind of give you the floor if you have anything to say about any of that.
Yeah, all that stuff is very important. And, you know, I've said all the time, since you and I have been talking, I've said many times, it's a slippery slope on saving farmland. You want to save as much farmland as you can, but at the same time, I don't want to force anyone into doing something that they don't want to do, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, yeah.
I don't want to be told what I can and can't do with my land. But at the same time, I keep referring to all these different programs as tools in the toolbox. If somebody would like to do that, I want them to have options. Before, there haven't really been any options if they did want to do something like that. So now, some of these programs will allow someone that has farmland to save it. So they can get a monetary, they can get something, they can get money for selling their rights to be able to develop their land or whatever. And they can have some money to work with now. And it'll say that, hey, from here on out, this is going to be farmland for perpetuity. So it protects that farmland from there for the rest of time. But that doesn't work for everyone. I just want there to be plenty of options available if somebody wants to help conserve farmland.
Yeah.
We've talked about how much farmland we're losing on a daily basis across the country. And that's not changing. We're still losing a lot of farmland, but maybe with some of these programs, it'll fit some person's needs, and they will be able to preserve farmland so that we can provide food and fiber for our people for the rest of our lives. You know, we've talked about being able to provide our own food as a matter of national security.
Right.
I don't believe there's another issue as big. If we can't provide our own food and we have to rely on another country to do it, then then they own us. If they want to cut us off and starve to death, that's what will happen. So it's very important that we're able to provide our own food, and we're going to have our own land first to be able to provide our own food.
So. No, I totally agree. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Hang on for just a second, Ryan. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns in Jay, Florida. It looks like everything in Santa Rosa and Escambia County doing just fine right now. No issues. If you see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620, you can text it in. Candy with traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, what are y'all up to right now? Are we in a lull period for you farming-wise? What's going on?
I wouldn't say it's a lull. The weather has, I would say our crops on average. Now, there are some that got planted on time, granted, but I would say just kind of on average, I feel like our crops are about 30 days or so behind. We're about a month behind on average is kind of the general feel, which is tough. And the weather, you know, we've had, we started with a drought, and then we've had a lot of rain, and the rain, obviously, it's a good thing, but it's caused us to be a little bit later than we would like to be. And, you know, we're kind of playing catch up. So when it rains a lot, the weeds are growing. We're not able to get in there and do anything with it. The cotton's growing. We have to put growth regulator on it. I know it sounds crazy. We want it to grow, but we also want it to slow down and make fruit versus spending all its energy just the plant growing itself.
That makes sense.
So we've got all that going on. We're trying to get our fertilizer put out in a timely manner before the crop gets so big that you can't get over it, and before it gets past where it really needs the nutrients so much. So there's a lot going on currently. Hopefully, things are looking good. I'll say that. Things are looking a lot better. They're just so late, and it's hard to – you always, you know, when I was a kid, you said you wanted to be laid by the 4th of July, which means you wanted to be kind of through with your taking care of the crop other than insecticide-wise. You wanted all this stuff done. You wanted your cotton to be thigh high by the 4th of July. I mean, all those are old-timey sayings. But this year, there wasn't any of that. So we're still, we've got about another good month of working and trying to play catch-up. And then I hope by the time that we talk again in August, we've started shelling corn. The corn crop, our corn crop looks really good this year. So I think we're to the point now where we've had enough rain. If it didn't rain, if it were to turn off dry for the next few weeks, that it wouldn't really affect it that much. So hopefully, knock on wood, our corn crop will be good and they'll start us off to a good season.
I know last year with the budget shutdown, you ran into the very serious problem of not getting a funding source in a timely way that you needed in order to pay back your loans properly. If you're a month behind on your schedule, is that going to have a similar effect of pushing you past a deadline for paying back a loan before you get paid for the harvest? Is that an issue, or am I interpreting this wrong?
It would be if it were longer, but, you know, just a month is not that big of an issue. You know,
Okay. Last
year it was just, there was no end in sight and you didn't know when it was going to be fixed,
right,
type thing. So this year, that part of the scenario looks much better.
Okay, well, that means good news.
We're still dealing with high fuel prices and high fertilizer prices.
Now, that was my next question. Okay, so yeah, how is the price of diesel and fertilizer doing for you right now?
The diesel was doing a little bit better, still very high, but now I guess it sounds like we're starting to fight again or whatever. I think the prices are already going back up. The fertilizer prices, regardless of what, I know the Department of Ag kind of makes it look like, hey, you know, blah, 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 these farmers pre-purchase their fertilizer, so it really didn't. I don't know a single, I'm sure there's a farmer somewhere in another part of the country that does that, but in our area, we're not able to pre-purchase our fertilizer. So we've paid the highest price that we've had in the whole cycle for our fertilizer. And so we're really struggling with the fuel and fertilizer prices. Let me just put it that way. It's not been good.
All right. Well, that's, you know, you said it still looks like it's going to be a fairly good year. The weather's sort of cooperating a lot better than it did at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I will take those as wins. We always like to hear if there's a farm fact that you can end with. Ryan, do you have one for me today?
There he is. This is for July 4th. And I tell you, I don't know. I've said this before. I don't know where these people shop at. But American Farm Bureau. I'm looking for this place. I want to shop there. I want to live there.
Oh, I know it. You're talking like the price of a Thanksgiving meal is so much. I'm like, for who?
So we always do the Thanksgiving meal. Excuse me. And they also do a 4th of July cookout.
Okay.
So they said a classic 4th of July cookout for 10 people this year costs $73.82.
Oh, come on.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what did they eat? Pencils?
What, are we all going to share one ribeye? I mean, like, what do you...
Yeah.
You'd spend 70 bucks on three ribeyes. Come on now.
But the important part is it's a 4% increase over the same thing from last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know where, and they must be all little people or something. That they're, I don't know. I'm like, I can go to Whataburger and eat $73 worth of stuff by myself.
Well, that's just because you're an overachiever, Ryan. I mean, I think that's...
Hey, if I'm going to do it, I do it right.
I know. Well, Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. We check in with him once a month, usually on the first Friday of the month, but obviously last week I was out. So, Ryan, as always, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate you feeding my kids and putting clothes on their back and talking to us and helping us understand, you know, what's going on in the life of such a significant portion of the economic activity of our two counties. Thank you for everything you do. We'll talk to you again next month, sir.
Thanks for having us, y'all. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely.